God be the glory for the great things God has done. God be the glory. What a mighty God we serve. And how we bless the Lord on this Sunday morning for the wonderful privilege of life, health, and strength, and for the opportunity to gather together at the Alfred Street Baptist Church of Alexandria, Virginia. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the word of God. And we're delighted today to have this opportunity to gather together for such a signal and significant experience as the celebration first of our God and what our God has done through the life, ministry, and the pastorate of the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley. Will you help me once again celebrate him for who he is and for what God has done through him during this season? I know you have been celebrating him all month, and that is a worthy celebration. Each and every week, we have been blessed here in this place to hear from men and women of God who have lifted their voices in celebration to God for the work and ministry of Dr. Wesley, and that's a wonderful and worthy tribute to him. And the work that you have done to celebrate him throughout this month has likewise been significant. And we thank God for all that you have done. And we're grateful that the Wheeler Avenue Church has an opportunity to come and share at the conclusion of this month. You honor us by this privilege, sir. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here with you. We are most delighted that out of all the congregations you could have chosen, that you looked down in the hood of Houston, Texas, and allowed us to come and share with you during this weekend, and we are excited about it. There are so many Wheeler Avenue brothers and sisters who are both here in the sanctuary and still in the bed, and I'm so excited that all of them have come to be with us. I'm not sure if you've had the Wheeler Avenue Church to stand yet, but I do want to see how many brothers and sisters have come. Many of our leadership, you've seen our choir. Wheeler Avenue, will you stand, please, so we can see where you are. Amen. Wow, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. A good portion of our, charter members are here. Hey, that's one of our charter members. She started our church. That's Sister Dorothy Booker, and we thank God for her. She started our church 56 years ago, and we thank God for her. Amen. There were 13 original members of our congregation who started the church in the living room of my predecessor, the Reverend Pastor William Alexander Lawson, who is our pastor emeritus. And those 13, there are about five or six who come to early morning worship every single Sunday, and they share in support of the ministry of our church, and Deaconess Dorothy Booker is one of them, and we're so grateful that she has come to be with us today. And then all the brothers and sisters, I don't know who's going to sing at Wheeler Avenue today. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be some old school church at Wheeler Avenue. That's all they're going to have. Nobody on the instruments, nobody in the choir stand. We just brought everything. We brought everything. We rented some people at the airport. There were some people there at the airport. We said, can y'all come act like you Wheeler Avenue? I don't know half them people up there. I don't know those people, but I'm so glad that they are here under the leadership of our minister of music. Our chairman of deacons is here. Our chairwoman of deacons. There's so many people who are here and present with us. We're missing one of our children. He was determined not to come. That's our younger boy, Matthew. He was determined not to come. He is a football star, and yesterday he had a football game, and he didn't care a thing about his Uncle Howard's anniversary. Didn't matter to him at all. And because he stayed, they won in overtime. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wasn't thinking about you, man. He couldn't. 10 years, I don't care. Okay, Let's look into the Word of God. I know our time is limited. Let's look into the Word of God. Our church, this month has been a series of messages regarding vision. And I had no idea at the time that I was preparing for the Wheeler Avenue Church that the Lord would lead me in the same direction when I came here to the Alfred Street Church, because I'm convinced that the reason the Wheeler Avenue Church is able to celebrate Alfred Street, even as Alfred Street celebrates her pastor, is because you have been blessed with a man of vision. A man who can see some things that others may not be able to see. He hears from the mouth of God, and he shares with the people of God what comes from the mouth of God. And so, for these moments that we spend together throughout this day, I want to talk about vision all day long. There are three little messages I want to share with us from that series of messages I've attempted to share with the Wheeler Avenue Church. And the first comes from that very, very familiar passage of Scripture in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs at chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but those who keep the law, happy are they." That's enough. Amen. You didn't even have to stand for that. I knew you didn't have time to stand for all that. Amen. We got to get to the next service. I'm real clear. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Our assistant pastor, M. Johnson, is here. But those who keep the law, happy are they. I want to talk for a little while about tunnel vision. Tunnel vision. When we talk about vision, most times we think about natural sight. And certainly that is a reality with regard to vision. We have to be able to see, to perceive through natural sight. But as we read through the Scriptures, we find out that vision that comes from God, a word that comes from God, is not at all about natural sight, but is about a revelation that comes from God that allows us to know God's will for our lives. We've been dealing with a working definition of vision all month long, and that working definition goes a little like this. Vision from God is a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from God that allows us to know God's will for our lives and then walk therein. That a vision from God is a revelation from God. That's the word that the New International Version, New Revised Standard Version, uses for vision in Proverbs 29, that it is a revelation from God, a clearly articulated, clearly communicated revelation, word from God, that allows us to know God's will for our lives so that we may thereby walk therein, that we might be rightly aligned with God's will and God's way for our lives. And to be sure, every one of us needs a vision from the Lord. Every one of us needs a word from the Lord that will guide us and guard us, that will help us to know which way we should go, with whom we should be in fellowship, where we should do that which God has assigned for our lives to do. All of us need a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from the Lord. And I got a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that every Sunday some folk walk up in Alfred Street Baptist Church to hear what thus saith the Lord, so that their lives might be transformed, that their lives might be rightly aligned with God's will and God's way. I communicate to us today that every now and then we need to pull aside and see what God has to say for the lives of those who love him and want to do that which he has called us to do. We need, I submit today, a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from the Lord that will help us to be rightly related, rightly aligned with God's will for our lives. To be sure, whatever our thoughts for our own lives are, they're not always in alignment with God's will. There are persons who can look back over your life and you can testify you once upon a time had a things to do list, a things you wanted to accomplish list. You had that thing set out where you were going to be by 1995, what you were going to be doing in 2012. And as you look back over your life, you can testify all those things didn't take place. because all those things were not rightly aligned with God's will, God's way for your life. And you can thank God in 2018 that God didn't let all that stuff take place, because God knew what was best for you. God knew what was his will for your life. And every now and then we ought to pause and just thank God that he didn't let everything go the way we wanted it to go. He didn't let everything go down the way we planned it to go down, because God's will is better than our will. As a matter of fact, God says it like this through the prophet Isaiah: my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, but my ways and thoughts are higher than your. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours, declares the Lord. And somebody in church today ought to be most excited that out of all the things that God could have allowed you to do, he not only opened some doors, but he closed some. Come on, somebody can testify. I'm grateful that he closed some doors. I'm grateful that he didn't let some things go down. I'm grateful that everything I planned, God didn't let it go the way I had planned it, because he had different plans for me. Oh, don't you hear the Lord speaking through the prophet Jeremiah? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Is there anybody in this church today who's still excited that God is not just interested in your right now, he's working on your not yet? Is there a witness anywhere in the sanctuary who is excited that God is still working on those things that I haven't even thought about yet? God has plans for me that are far beyond anything I could see. So your brothers and sisters, your God has given to you a man of God who shows up every Sunday, stands in this pulpit, opens up the word of God. Well, not this month, but every other month he comes into this place, opens up the word of God, and begins to preach a word that will give you the clear articulation, clear communication of the will of God, a revelation that allows you to know God's will for your life and walk therein. Is there anybody in church who still needs a word from the Lord? I still need to hear from him. In a world where everybody thinks they know what's best for my life, I'm still grateful that I can show up on a Sunday morning and hear that God has plans for me that are far beyond my own human comprehension. The Bible says that we need a word from the Lord, because where there is no clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from the Lord, watch this, the people perish. Now, the people perish, but those who keep the law, happy are they. Those who keep the law, blessed shall they be. I love this, Pastor Wesley, because it seems to suggest to me that proper vision always provides clarity. Yes, yes. Let the church say clarity. It lets you see things clearly. It lets you see things in a way that you would not have been able to see had you not heard from the Lord. Don't forget our working definition. We need to hold on to it the entire time we're trying to work through this message today, because a vision from God, a revelation from God, is a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from God that lets you know God's will for your life so that you might walk therein. And this Bible tells us that if you don't have it, you perish. Now, I love the reality that God is able to speak to me in ways that allow me to know how God is moving in my life. I need to know this, because let's be clear, this world we live in is filled with murkiness. This world we live in can always cloud our vision so that we cannot understand exactly what's going on in our lives. But every now and then, when God sends a word through God's prophet, it allows the scales to fall from our eyes. Have you ever had what the psychologists call an aha moment? Have you ever had that moment sitting in church where it seemed as if the light bulb went off and you were able to say, oh, I got it now? That's what the word of God does for us. That's why you can't get bored with the word of God. That's why you got to do your best to stay awake while the preacher's preaching. That's why you can't just nod off and pass notes and get consumed with everything else while the word is going forward, because you never know how much you're going to need that word come Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday when you don't know which way to go, which route to take. But somebody can testify, when I got some word in me, it allows me to know, go this way, not that way, go right, not left. Is there anybody in church today who can thank God that some word has been communicated to you that brought clarity to your situation? Yes, in a world where the murkiness of life can sometimes cloud us and hinder us from moving in the right direction, I'm so grateful that every now and then God will send a word to let me know exactly what His will is for my life. Last time I checked your Bible, God is not the author of confusion. Last time I checked your Bible, He wants you to know exactly what His will is for your life. And somebody ought to thank God that when I come to church, I can hear something from God that allows my life to be made better and allows me to leave church singing. I can see clearly now the rain is going. Is there anybody in church today who can thank God for a word that brings clarity? I need some vision. I need to know God's will for my life. I need to know that God is still at work, and I don't need it to be cloudy and confusing. I don't need it to be so high that I can't reach it. I need to be put on my level. Yeah, that's why the Bible says when Jesus came preaching, He started preaching the regular language of the people because He wanted everybody to understand it. I told our church this earlier this month that when I grew up at Emmanuel Baptist Church, 8301 South Damon Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60620, where the Reverend Dr. L.K. Curry was my pastor. And when I grew up at Emmanuel, every year, Pastor Wesley knows this, that Pastor Curry would bring in some very special preachers all through the year. He'd bring in preachers who would just bless our lives. These big name preachers that we would never know. There was no such thing as the internet back then, so you didn't get the opportunity to just click on your favorite preacher all day long. No, you had to be in the space or get a cassette tape. Yeah, y'all don't know nothing about cassette tapes. If you're sitting next to a millennial, tell them I'll tell you after the benediction. But here it is, church. We'd have to get a cassette tape. And there were some preachers who would come to Emmanuel every single year. And one preacher that blessed my socks off every single year was a man by the name of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Sr. Dr. King Sr. would come every year, and when he would come every year, he'd preach the word of God to us, and then after church, he'd sit around and he'd talk and he'd tell stories and let us know about a lot of things that were going on, especially when he was ministering to his son and raising up his son. And he told us that one year Dr. King Jr. was preaching at the Ebenezer Church, and while he was preaching, he was using all those lofty words. He was trying to impress us. Y'all know those kinds of words your pastor be using. You know those big old $10 words. He was using all those words, and he was sitting behind him. Daddy King was sitting behind Dr. King Jr., and he would just keep on saying, make it plain, son, make it plain. You want to know? You want to know why many of us come to church every single week? Because we need some things about God's will and way to be made plain to us. And every Sunday, you ought to sit there with bated breath, with your Bible in your lap and your understanding perked, so you can say to your pastor every Sunday, make it plain, pastor, make it plain, because I need to leave here with some clarity. I need to leave here knowing God's will for my life. I need to leave here with a better understanding of what God is up to. Is there anybody in church this day who say, the reason I come every week, because now I see things differently, I understand things differently, I perceive things differently, because vision brings clarity. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, when you look at the scriptures and you allow the word of God to speak to you, it begins to uncover some things you didn't understand. It begins to bring to you some clarity that you would not have had if you had just been listening to your friend's advice. It brings some clarity that you wouldn't have just thinking you had enough common sense to make it through this thing called life. When the scripture reveals itself to us, it brings, it provides clarity. But may I suggest in the second place, it not just provides clarity, but it likewise, my brothers and sisters, produces enmity. May I suggest that improper vision produces enmity. Proper vision provides clarity, but improper vision provides or produces enmity. Somebody say enmity. Brokenness, frustration, agitation. Makes you scratch your head wondering how things are going to work. It brings fracture and factions when you have improper vision, when you do not have a clearly communicated, clearly articulated word from the Lord. It brings fracture, brokenness, enmity. Okay, let's see if we can look at it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that word perish does not mean to instantly die. It literally means to cast away. It means you are no longer in the will of God for your life. You're moving away from that which would bring you peace and wholeness, the shalom of God. You are walking away from that which will bring you to the place where you are able to say, thanks be to God for all the great things God has done. It causes enmity. It moves you from where God wants you to be. And the scripture says that when you are in a place with improper vision, you're cast away. Now, you've got to understand the context of the text, because the context out of which this little wisdom literature comes reminds us of the Babylonian exile. The children of Israel, God's chosen people, were cast away into Babylonian exile. They were robbed, stripped, ripped from their homeland and taken into exile under the cruel rule of Nebuchadnezzar. His foot was on their neck. They could not make any progress. They had no productivity. There was the temple in Jerusalem had been shut down, which meant the priests were not ministering. They could not get a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from the Lord. They were in exile. As a matter of fact, it was such a bad scene for them that Psalm 137 says that their captors required of them a song. These were singing people. These were celebrating people. These were shouting people. These were folk from Wheeler Avenue and Alfred Street. But now they're cast away, shut down, and cannot survive the way they want to survive. Their captors required of them a song. And listen to what they said. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we shout when we're cast away? How can we get happy when that man is still at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? How can we feel as good as we're supposed to feel because we don't get a clearly communicated word from the Lord? And church family, that's how it gets, isn't it? When you don't have a word from the Lord, that's why you can't stay home and think that just because you stay home in your bed that your troubles are going to pass away after a while. No, you need to make your way up in this house because God has a word for you that will bring you back some strength and give you back some joy and give you a clear focus for where God is trying to take you. Is there a witness in church this morning who can testify when stuff goes down in my life that I don't like? That ain't the time to stay away from the Lord's house. That's not the time when I get laid off or fired from the job. That's not the time to stay in my bed when my bereaved and my heart is broken. That's not the time to stay away from the Lord's house. That's the time to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, because here's a word from my life that just might let me know that even if weeping endures for a night, joy, come on and help me preach, joy will come in the morning. Is there a witness in this church who can testify that one word from the Lord can bring joy into your life that allows you to leave here better than the way you came? Is there a witness who can testify? I may come in broken, but I'm going out blessed. I may come in depressed, but I'm going out delivered. Because if I get a word from the Lord, that word will help me to have some wholeness in my life. Listen, don't make sense to come to church all your life and still be cast away. Don't make sense to come to your service every Sunday, sit in your seat, and still be cast away. Anybody in this church like our church, you got your seat in your service, and you so upset all these folk from Texas are here because you ain't in your seat right now. But somebody can testify, even if I'm not in my seat at my service, if I can just get a word. Proper vision provides clarity. And improper vision produces enmity, brokenness. But let me close the message. When I tell you that supervision produces victory. Now, I'm done. Supervision. Now you got to say that like I said it. I didn't say supervision. No, I said super. Yeah, there you go. Look at you jackleg preachers at the Alfred Street Church. Supervision provides clarity. Listen, supervision is not just you getting some word that you think is good for you, because I submit and suggest that our vision for our own lives will always be too small. Did you hear what the preacher just said? I said your personal vision is too small. Yeah, your family's vision and your friend's vision for your life is too small. So you need to get supervision. That's the vision that comes from God and God alone. That's the word that comes from God and God alone. That's the word that says to you that no matter where you are right now, this is not where you're going to be always. It doesn't matter if the naysayers or the dissenters or the disbelievers don't get along with the program. If God be for us, come on and help me. Who can be against us? Can I find two or three people in this church today who can testify? I need supervision. I need a word that comes from God that I know it was nobody but the Lord. Yeah. This supervision literally means that God watches over us. God guides us. God guides us and guards us. That God is always superintending the concerns of his children. And here, my brothers and sisters, I submit that this word, this second couplet of this piece of wisdom literature suggests that when God is guarding and guiding, that those of us who try to walk in alignment with God's will always be blessed. That's the second. We know the first part of the couplet, where there is no vision, the people perish. But that second part blesses me. But those who keep the law, happy are they. Those who get a word that is rightly communicated from God, they just get happy all by themselves. Have you ever seen some people in church who get happy every Sunday? Yeah. Have you ever seen some people who rock in their seats every single Sunday? Have you ever seen some people who wave their hand all church long? Have you ever seen people jump up and sit down and jump up and sit down? It's not because they're trying to get seen by you. They just got a word. And one word from the Lord will make you do things you didn't plan to do. One word from the Lord will make you shout, and you thought you were more reserved than that. One word from the Lord will make you lift your hands in the sanctuary and say, to God be the glory. One word from the Lord. Yes, listen, church family, I submit that those of us who love God's word, always happy. Even when frustrations show up, we still got a reason to rejoice. Anybody ever have joy in sorrow? Anybody still have reason to shout even when your bills are due and you're not having the kind of day you wish you were having? I need two or three people in here who've learned how to say hallelujah anyhow. Is there anybody in this building today who can testify? I don't always have things to go the way I want them to go, but if I can just get a word from the Lord, even if I got to limp through my situation, I still say hallelujah anyhow, even if my friends aren't around to focus on me, even if everybody around me has left me and don't want to be bothered with me, if I can get a word from the Lord, I can still say hallelujah. Don't you fool yourself. Everybody shouting on your row doesn't have everything together. Oh, you better hear me up there in that balcony. Everybody clapping their hands don't have everything together. But they got some joy down on the inside. And this joy, woo, that I have, woo, the world didn't give it to me. And the world came.
Well, watch this, watch this. It's a clearly communicated, clearly articulated word from the Lord. It literally, watch this, always keeps you focused. Yeah, it always focuses you. It keeps you focused. See, when you get a word from the Lord, watch, even if you have to wait on it to come to fruition, because you know God said it, it'll keep you focused. No, you just missed a good opportunity to say amen. That was a spot right there where amen should have gone. I said that even if you got to wait on it, if you heard a word from the Lord, it keeps you focused. I said I was going to talk a little bit about tunnel vision. It means that you keep on looking forward, even though you don't see it right now. You know if God said it, it shall come to pass. I need some Bible readers now. I'm about to go Bible. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. If he spoke it, he'll do just what he said. Is there a witness in the building today that those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength? They'll mount up on wings as eagles, run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Anybody ever have to wait on the Lord? But you found out he still shows up in his time and according to his will, and he keeps his word. It keeps us focused, and it always keeps us looking forward, but it always keeps us looking forward to something that is bigger than what we are right now. Oh, child of God, I love the fact that you've been able to celebrate your pastor all month long. But may I please give you a word from the Lord on this Sunday morning as I take my seat. Here's the word from the Lord. Eyes have not seen. Oh, and ears have not heard. It hasn't entered into the hearts of men and women the things that God has in store for those who love him. And I need to ask the Alfred Street Church, is there anybody in here who loves my Jesus? Is there anybody in here who loves the Lord? Well, if you love him, keep your eyes open, because God is not through blessing you. It's been a good 10-year run, man, but this is not the end. God has greater things in store. Is there anybody in the building today who's looking to go higher, who's looking to see greater, who's expecting God to do phenomenal things? I expect that God's gonna send more people, and I expect that God's gonna give more vision. I expect that God's gonna give more ministry, and God's gonna provide more miracles. And somebody ought to testify, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Won't he do it? My time is gone, but won't he do it? Somebody shout yeah. Shout yeah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on him. Tunnel your vision, man, and watch God do great things. Blessed are those who keep the law. Happy are those. Joyous are those. Excited are those at Alfred Street Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. The spoken word. I thank God for the written word. But can we take a few minutes and give God glory for the living word? His name is Jesus, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly